verses 1 to 5. And as we look at this here, we see that, again, as the theme of the book is becoming a contagious Christian. And we want this to be a good thing, you know, something that you're attracted to, not running from. Okay? And yet God can help us to overcome our troubles. And the thing is, people are watching us all the time, and they know that we as Christians run into troubles too. But I think they watch us to see how we're going to handle the troubles. How do we respond to them in our lives? And I'm sure that's a curiosity to a lot of people. They may never ask or talk about it, but they're observing our lives. Okay, they know you're under stress or whatever, what's going on, and they're seeing how you handle it. Well, if we don't handle any better than they do, then why bother? You know, if they don't if they're not any better off than I am, why do that church stuff? Well, we look here, and Jesus had different names that he referred to by his followers. Followers of the way, the disciples, believers, Christian, children of God. And it's interesting enough that he doesn't call us all victims. Everybody's a victim nowadays. But he wants us instead to be overcomers. And that's what John talks about here. And we'll see that as we go along here tonight. But back in the Gospel of John, he gives some of Jesus' words. And he says, Jesus is saying, in me you might have peace. Wow. They could use some of that in Portland and Seattle and Chicago and a lot of places around, okay? But I don't see them going to church to try to find it or anything close to that, you know? It says, in the world you will have tribulation. Sometimes, again, people have gotten the wrong idea. Oh, well, I become a Christian, all my troubles are over. It doesn't work that way. Okay, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have troubles. And, you know, we don't get a, you know, get out of jail free card or, you know, get to bypass all the troubles because we have a relationship with Jesus. We're in the world. The world's a mess. It's going to have an impact on our lives. But he goes on to say, again, he could put periods wherever he wants and just stop. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, period. But he didn't. But he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay? So there's hope. And the Lord can provide for us no matter what the situation then. You know, and you know, it's not just that we're lucky that we don't live in some of these cities that I mentioned. You know, God can watch over us no matter where we're at, you know. And we look at scripture and we look at around us and we see that Christians are harassed by evil forces, this world system, that really is anti-God, you know, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Satan's doing, he knows his time's short. He's pulling out the stops. He's going to do everything that he can to try to mess up our lives and our testimony and make life more difficult for us. And again, those evil forces aren't going to go away. You know, there's not a vaccine against Satan. Okay? He's going to be around for a while. How long is he going to be around? Thousand seven. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be around for the tribulation. He's locked up for 1,000 years. I mean, he's still there, but he's not causing any problems until the very end, and he's released. But eventually, he's going to be drop kicked into the lake of fire and he won't be a problem anymore. But he's still, you know, nothing changed. He's no tornado. Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll all meet at Culver's. Ice cream will make it better. Okay, so anyway, I mean, you got an awful lot of people out there that not only just don't attend church, they're against any type of... I mean, you look at the governor of California. You know, first of all, it was... What does he come out with? No churches can meet, you know, period. And then if you were before, you weren't supposed to sing. And, you know, it's like... But anyway, God, this stuff takes us all by surprise. We think, where in the world did this stuff come from? You know, I've said, if you were writing some kind of science fiction book, and I'm not into science fiction, we could have written this thing and nobody would believe it. You know, I'd say, nah, that'll never happen. And it did. But it doesn't surprise the Lord. And so he's able to handle it. And he's able to help us handle it. And he talks about Ephesians chapter 6, about how we need the armor of the Lord. We can be victorious. He didn't just say, start picking out your cemetery plot. No hope, folks. No. We can be victorious. And the fight is not over. He didn't just say, you know, we've got, what do we have? What was it? Shelter in place? Well, he doesn't say cower in place. Just curl up into a little ball and suck your thumb and, you know, hope it's going to be all better soon. No, he didn't say that. He says we can fight. Okay? We can stand up and fight. So what about this battle that we're in? There's some positives, there's some negatives in all of this. And, you know, again, he's trying to do his best to ruin our Christian life, to keep Christians from worshiping, cause them to be fearful and so on. I mean, I read of some big church, I don't even know for sure where it was at, but, you know, they're not going to meet for the rest of the year, you know. So, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking, if they did that in that first century when the Romans were being rough on them and throwing them in the out to the lions and everything else, you know, if everybody had just curled up in a ball, we probably wouldn't have Christianity today. But they kept at it. And so we keep on trying to live for the Lord. We do our best. Satan's going to oppose us. It's not going to get easier. But the thing is, we can overcome the battles. We can overcome Satan's attacks. We don't have to be the victim. And the positive side of this, again, is, you know, here we are in a warfare, and if God had chosen, he could have, at the moment we trusted Christ, we've been out of here, okay? We've been just taken home, if that's what he wanted. But he chose not to do that. He chose us to leave us here for a reason. And as we fight the warfare, as we overcome Satan and his attempts to distract us and discourage us, it brings glory to God. And this is what it's all about. You know, we may have a lot of different goals and ambitions in life, but as we look at Scripture, the main goal for the Christian is to bring glory to God. And sometimes it kind of, I think that gets kind of lost in the shuffle. And he's decided to leave us here. And he's said, okay, you're going to have to fight. But you can win. It's kind of like we're just getting started in Sunday school. You know, looking at judges, they're coming into the land. God said, I'm giving you the land. But you're still going to have to fight battles for it. And they could have won. They could have been victorious. They could have possessed all the land and driven out the Canaanites and the rest of them. But they kind of slowed down and just decided they'd be a Rodney King and can't we just all get along? And so they moved in next door to them and just kind of like Lot moved into Sodom saw his family go down the tube. But here we see here that God has given us power. He's given us weapons. We can be victorious. He didn't call us all to be kamikazes. I'm not saying that right. Am I? Kamikaze? Yeah. Anyway, however the ending is. Not that we take our little dose of poison and go out and, you know, kill ourselves. No, we can be overcomers. And he didn't say it's always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy. You know, missionaries at times come home from the field. And, you know, I mean, they do it at different times now. Sometimes they're home for a couple of months for the summer because their kids are in school and all kinds of different things. But it used to be they were on the field for like 4 years and they'd come home because they were ripped after about 4 years. Not only because of the physical stress on them and the diseases and everything else that that they were fighting, but they were doing battle with Satan over the souls of people. And they come home and they are home for a year and they try to get refreshed and strengthened and get all their dental work done and everything else that needed to be fixed and go back out there and have another go at it, okay? But as he says here in my fan keeps turning my pages for me here, in verse 4, for whosoever is born of God, he's talking about believers here, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, you know, God's not blowing smoke at us. He's not just trying to give us a rah-rah session, you know, when we're going to go out and get slaughtered. He says that we can have victory. We can be overcomers. Well, if that's a possibility, then why are there, as he says here, why are there so many Christians that are depressed and defeated, just kind of lip on the ground? That's not where God wants us. And he says, you know, the casual, how are you, can generate a discouraging answer. Joke about it, you know, sometimes you get the organ recital. You know what that is, right? You know, it's this organ, that organ, and the other, all these different things that are going wrong in our physical bodies, you know. Or I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. I like what he said here. He says, your circumstances are like a mattress. If you're under them, you're going to smother. Supposed to be on top of the circumstances. The thing is, we all have problems. You know, maybe I should start asking that on Sunday. Anyone here today not have any problems? See how often that happens. You know, hey, we're Christians. Aren't our problems all supposed to go away? No, it doesn't work that way. But the thing is, we can be overcomers. It's not going to come easy. We aren't just going to wake up someday and say, ah, I feel like an overcomer today. But, you know, this power of mental, power of positive thinking, he says, here's what we ought to say. And I want us to say this together, but let me read it. I'm overcoming. Thanks for asking. Can you say that? Can you say that with me? I'm overcoming. Thanks for asking. Now, I'm going to have to work on that because I don't know about you, but people ask, how are you doing? What's the automatic answer? Good, fine, you know, whatever. Able to set up, take nourishment. You know, it depends on who you ask. But, you know, we can be overcomers. And he talks about there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says, and again, sometimes we kind of forget this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to give thanks for everything. I think we tend to be selective in our thanksgiving. When things are going well, we're thankful. Things are not going so well, maybe not so much thankful. Maybe owly and growly, you know? But isn't it an accident? Did God kind of flub up? Did he oversleep, you know, when we're having a bad day? And no. He's allowed this stuff to come into our lives for a reason. I don't always know what it is. And I got to work, you know, I'm... I won't get in some of the stuff that bugs me, but we all have our little things, okay? But we can be an overcomer. And so, what do you think? Would that be contagious if we as Christians, and it probably won't happen overnight, but that we became overcomers and we weren't always being overcome at the bottom of the pile in a heap, you know, kind of a mess. When people ask, how you doing? You know, some you don't want to ask, how are you doing? Because they'll tell you, and it won't be good. So he says, here's there are some things, three characteristics. And we'll probably only go as far as the first one here. But he says the first characteristic of somebody that's overcoming, and this is probably not an easy one, okay? Let's look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, I think we're probably good there so far, is born of God. Okay? So we're born again, believers. Okay? If that's true, then it says, everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him, also is begotten of him. Okay? Right? Now, that might need a little bit of interpretation here, but he's saying, we ought to love God, and we ought to love others that he has begotten, other born-again believers. Is it always easy to love born-again believers? Are we just all lovable little fuzzballs? You know, everybody just loves us. You know, we go home every day, have to wash our face because we've been slobbered all over, and everybody just loves us. Hands are wore out from people shaking our hands and patting us on the back. No, okay? But here he says, we need to be born of God. Okay, so he's. There are other places in Scripture it tells us we're supposed to love everybody, but here he picks it out especially that we ought to love fellow believers, and not just in name only. I mean, we could go, you know, if we went down the street and asked people, "Are you a Christian?" We probably find the majority would say yes, because we're not Muslim, we're not Buddhist, we're not, you know, whatever else is out there, okay? Surely, when we're Americans, Christian nation, and, you know, go to church, Easter, Christmas, baptisms, whatever else, yeah, we're Christians. Well, here he's saying, it ought to have such an impact on our life, not just that we get a certificate in the mail or our names are on some church roll, but it changes our life. And this is switching gears just a little bit, but I remember one of the classes we were talking about, because lots of times we say, well, I've learned that. How many of you have taken a foreign language? Okay. Can you speak those foreign languages? Yeah. Okay. He's saying we can say we've learned something when it changed our life. See, it's one thing to learn. No, I think most of you have taken tests, whether it's high school, whatever, or Bible college. You learn the material, you know, because there's a test on Friday. And you learn it, and you do really well on it. But if you had to take that test the following Friday, would you still remember all that? Did it change your life? Or was it just so you could come up with the right answer? You know? And this ought to be our, again, it's not just a decision, but it's a relationship. It's not just a religion. But it ought to change our lives. And he points out here, he says, intellectual belief in Jesus doesn't make us a Christian. A lot of people know about Jesus. They could give you facts and all kinds of things that they know about Jesus, but they really don't know him. They know about him, but they don't know him. It hasn't changed their life, other than maybe they go to church once in a while, that they maybe wouldn't do otherwise, but But he says intellectual belief in Jesus doesn't make us a Christian any more than intellectual belief in Adolf Hitler makes us Nazis. Okay? You may have seen History Channel or whatever and seen documentaries on Hitler and know some facts about him and so on. But it doesn't make you a Nazi. Well, just knowing about Jesus doesn't make us a Christian. And so he says we really have to be born of God. We need to be born again. Our lives need to change. Again, a lot of people claim to be Christians, but if you follow them around with a video camera or something else, they don't look, act, think, speak any different than everybody else that they're mingling with. Not saying we have to be weird, okay? And I keep picking on this guy. I don't even know if he's still around. But remember the guy who ran around with a hearse, verses all over the car, and the, you know, sheets of plywood made an A-frame up on his car with verses on it. So now, I don't know. Maybe the guy's reaching people. You know, I don't know. But he didn't say that we all have to do that, okay? But it, people ought to be able to tell that we really are, that we're different. We're not just like everybody else. And so that life change that's supposed to take place because we are born again, it's supposed to kick love into high gear into our life, that we love God, but we also love our brothers and sisters. And sometimes I teasingly say, you know, we better learn to love one another because their condo may be next to ours in heaven, you know. We're going to get along there. We need to learn to get along here. And the Lord can help us with that. I believe that's a legitimate prayer to ask the Lord to help us to love others like we ought to. You know, because if we just wait till we feel like it, you know, because some people, I'm sorry, there are some that are like porcupines. You know, you get up close to them and you get jabbed, you know. But God says, most will love them anyway. Here he's saying there's a change that needs to take place in our lives. And so if we're going to help overcome our troubles, part of it, our troubles have to do with other people. And even some of those people are Christians. And he's saying we need to learn to love them. Okay? And I haven't seen one of these job applications for a while, but what is it? That they don't discriminate against age. They say that. But I can't help but believe that that's a strike against Keith. If he was 30 years old instead of, I don't know if he's 60 or what, that, you know, might make a difference. We're going to pay all this money to train this guy and he's going to be around here for how long? Well, we can't age, race, color, creed. Now they've added, what, all the sexual orientations, 46 different kinds or whatever they are. So, but he said, we ought not to have to do a checklist to see if they measure up to our standards. So God says we're supposed to love all of them. And again, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with some of that. I'm supposed to love the Muslims. I'm supposed to love those guys that ran those planes into the towers, you know, and that are killing our soldiers on the other side of the world. I mean, they're lost. They're going to hell. They need the Savior. And God says we're supposed to love them. Well, I'm not ready to be a missionary to them yet. Okay? But you know, that's something each one of us has to deal with. We've probably got our own little hang-ups of some kind. And, you know, we love our brothers and sisters most of the time. But we're supposed to love our spiritual family too, as he says. Because, again, they are our brothers and sisters. Okay, I don't have, well, I had a, what was he, half-brother who's 25 years older than me, so we didn't have an awful lot of together time. But some of you got brothers and sisters. Is it a love fest every time you're with them? Do you always agree about everything? You grew up in the same family, ate at the same table. Some of you slept in the same rooms and everything else growing up for years and years and years. No, there's differences, but you love them anyway. And, you know, that I think probably carries over to Christians. We're not always going to agree about everything, all right? If we wait till everybody, I'll put it on me. If I wait till everybody agrees with me about everything before I love them, then it's not going to happen, okay? But it works the other way, too. You're supposed to love me even though I'm not, you know, probably agree with everything that you think or whatever. Now, hopefully we're in agreement on this, but you might like, let's see, lemon meringue pie or something like that. That's not on my top list, okay? You know, we all like different things. And so we need to get over some of the things that maybe aren't quite so important. As the scriptures talk about, it says there in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and I suppose I better quit here. He says that this love shows up in our lives. One member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Okay? Somebody's hurting, we hurt with them. We try to encourage them. One member's honored or promoted or whatever, we're to rejoice with them. Not get mad and angry and saying, I should have got that job. I deserved it, you know. The way jealousy doesn't have a part of it. And so God put us here to be a help and encouragement to one another. And like I've said to other people, you know, they say, oh, well, I'm doing fine. So that's their excuse of not coming to church. Are you only supposed to come to church when you're down and out? No, if you're feeling great, come on in. You can sit next to, you know, I keep talking about Harry and Larry, but, you know, sit next, maybe they're not doing so good, and maybe you can lift and encourage them a little bit. Because next week, it might be the other way around. You might have got your pink slip, and they're coming over to encourage you, you know? We're not all up, we're not all down at the same time. You know, I mentioned this the other day, it's kind of like a teeter-totter. You know, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're not. Okay? But how would that work? Could you ever have a teeter-totter where everybody's up? Maybe we're all just level? Okay? But anyway, child of God, share one another's burdens. We all got burdens of some kinds. A lot of people don't share theirs. Because they, you know, think, wow, I got a burden. There must be something wrong with me. So I don't want to tell people I got this or they'll think I'm not a real good Christian. Face it, we all have burdens. And sometimes we can come along. We can't fix everybody, all right? None of us has the ability to, you know, I keep saying, I don't have a magic wand. I can't fix everything. But I can pray for you. I can try to encourage you. Maybe there's something I can do to help over here that in a way will help you where you're at, you know. And maybe there's something that we can do to help others. Okay, we'll just quit here, all right? And we'll jump in here about our allegiance to God and His precepts, okay, God's Word. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We didn't talk about anything we didn't already know. You've told us a long time ago and many times over, and John especially, in the Gospel of John as well as in this book, that we're to love one another. And Lord, help us not to just say, yeah, I know, and then go on about doing whatever we used to do. Help us to grow in our love for You and our love for one another. And you bring one another, people into our lives. Maybe they are a little prickly. Maybe there's something you're trying to accomplish in our lives that will make us maybe not quite so sensitive. Or maybe there's something that we can do to help them to retract some of their quills. I don't know. But we can be a help and a blessing to one another. We pray you'd help us to think about ways to do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming tonight. Lord bless you. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything special going on.